Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show here, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. I am traveling, and I am not so sophisticated, nor do we have the funds, really, to have all the equipment for me to haul around when I'm traveling to do a program on the road. So today's program is, you might say it's dated, but it really isn't. It doesn't deal with a contemporary issue per se, but it is a contemporary topic that is actually going to be timeless, probably, for the rest of our lives, which I'd like to cover. And it's unusual. It's a kind of a special program, if you will. But before I get to that, I'd just like to let you know that you can reach me with a comment, constructive or complaint, what have you, redskyradio777@gmail.com. That's redskyradio777@gmail.com. And if you'd like to make a contribution, we do obviously appreciate contributions from our listeners. It covers about 20-25% of the cost of this program. The rest of it, I pay for out of my after-tax dollars. I work to do this program. Some guys golf, I do radio. And so it's ministry. We do appreciate it, and you'll hear a solicitation, but if you also would like to use a vehicle like PayPal or something, you can do that on the website, which I rarely mention, which I should, but I don't. It's robinwalter.net, robinwalter.net, and there's a PayPal button on there if you would like to use that. I'm not a big fan of PayPal, the company per se, but we have not found, frankly, an adequate substitute for it. So, with all that, let's launch today's program. I am going to cover some of the most evil humans to have ever lived on the face of the earth. You say, what the heck is this about? Well, when I get done with this, you are going to see a connection between the evil people, the most evil people that we know about. There'll be a point to recognize and consider, and the evidence that I'm going to give forth will be compelling in producing the conclusion to this program. So you might think this is a kind of program, well, you get the 12 and 13-year-old boys, they're going to really like to hear about the most evil humans who have ever lived on Earth. But it's with a purpose that I point these people out and what they did. I'll try not to go into too much description of the barbarities for which they are known, but it's necessary. And like I said, at the end, you're going to be able to connect the dots between these people, and you'll say, oh my goodness, I get it. I understand the warnings that others are saying. I understand the warnings that I've been giving people on this program as to what is coming. And to that end, I certainly want to encourage people to also catch the Sunday Morning with Robin Walter program, which you can get that via podcast as well, which I just now, this weekend, started the series dealing with, and it's going to be a long series, on preparing for the end times as it relates to, whether there is a pre-trib rapture, which there is not, but I will prove that there is not. Beyond a reasonable doubt, which is a standard for convicting somebody of murder. The standard of proof, that's the standard of proof I'm subjecting myself to. That same level of proof beyond a reasonable doubt to establish that there is no such thing as a pre-trib rapture. There's a rapture, but we don't get out of here early, folks. Sorry, you're in for the ride. You signed up, you joined the army, live with it. We got a war ahead. Okay, to start, I'm going to pick on this party called H.H. Holmes, who lived back in the 19th century, and he was Dr. H.H. Holmes to you and to me. And At the age of 25, he found work in a Chicago pharmacy, and he built a special room on the building in which he used to work, where he used to torture and brutalize and murder patients. Now, this has happened before, but not quite like this guy did. After his conviction in the year 1895 for the murder of Benjamin Petetzel, I think is how you pronounce it, he then and eventually confessed to what he had murdered about, and he wasn't even sure, about 27 people. As a private individual, murdering people, 27 of them. Or at least is what we know about this, what he admitted. Kind of reminds me a little bit of a mass murderer, which you will remember, Ted Bundy, maybe. He would have made the list, but he killed only 23 instead of 27. They were all women. I don't know if he raped them first, but he didn't confess to these other women until he was getting ready to be executed. And he was executed, not by hanging like H.H. Holmes was, but I think he got lethal injection, which he certainly deserved, and it would be unjust to have not executed him. So that's H.H. Holmes. Now, I want to say I'm not giving these people to you in any particular order. Some are worse than others in certain ways, and not as bad as others in other ways. So I'm not going to place an order on them. That's up to you to do. You do this. These are the ones that I've selected that have been written about. And with that, move on to the next one, Leopold. Leopold II of Belgium. Leopold was actually known for establishing Belgium as a colonial power in Africa. And he became particularly invested in and interested in the Congo. And after all, it was known as the Belgian Congo before it gained its freedom and became the Free State, the Congo Free State. And it's hard for me, and this is a bit of a digression, I'm sorry, but to hear the word Leopold and not think about a certain Bugs Bunny cartoon, although there's nothing funny about this Leopold of the second. But Bugs Bunny is underneath there in the orchestra pit, and the great Leopold, a conductor, comes out on stage, and everybody's a great Leopold, it's a Leopold. And of course, Bugs Bunny absolutely tortures, demonizes practically. So this conductor, this guy, it's kind of funny in that, and that's the only Leopold I ever known is a Leopold from that cartoon. This is not that Leopold. This guy is horrible. He was brutal. There were many Congolese women that were raped. And it is estimated that under his dictatorship, which he was in full control here, that he had killed about 3 million Congolese. I guess I think that's how they are identified. So was this race-based? Boy, you better believe it. There's no denying this one. There's a white guy as a dictator who had about 3 million blacks executed. For reasons we don't fully know and I don't need to get into, it's just that he was bad. This was simply a partial genocide of some sort. It's not that there was a rebellion that needed to be taken care of, because after all, this is colonial Africa. This isn't a recent event, because he ruled from 1885 to 1909. So you can rank these people if you want. If you got a sheet of paper out there, put 1 through about 15, because we're going to go through some, where H.H. Holmes ends up Leopold II. Next, we're going to go to Amelia Dyer. And Amelia Dyer is regarded as the scariest English serial killer in history. In the Victorian period of the United Kingdom, she allegedly murdered many children during her care of about 30 years. Now, what she would do is that she would target women that had infants, and then she would subscribe to be the nanny of those infants. I mean, this is right out of a horror movie. And then she would kill them. And then, and of course, it was an accidental death or this or that happened. And because London was a big city, she could move around. And there was just the law enforcement tools at that time obviously weren't what they are today, and chronicling these things. But it is, but the number of children that she killed is simply unknown. It's just that it, there was a lot. She escaped authorities for years, but eventually was arrested when the doctors realized, finally, the sudden rise in the number of infant mortality situations under her care. She was persecuted for her deeds and was hanged. Hallelujah. I raise her not because the death toll is in the hundreds or thousands or millions, like Leopold, wiped out 3 million, but because her children, and they were under her care, and somebody so wicked, so evil, to simply kill every child. Was Amelia Dyer barren? Was she incapable of having children? Was she jealous of people who could have children? And did she hate the children for that reason, because other women had them and she couldn't? I don't know. There's no understanding of how and why she did what she did, and how demon-possessed she obviously was. And she reminds me of, speaking of evil women here, who's the most evil woman in Scripture? Referred to as Jezebel, right? Jezebel killed the prophets in Israel. She hated anybody that competed with her form of religion. The prophets called her into sin. They convicted her of sin. She had them killed. She had a lackey of a husband by the name of Ahab. And we have the term Jezebel spirit these days because of that woman who usurped the authority of the king. I mean, Ahab was a loser. He was kind of a feckless, incompetent king. He certainly was. He was essentially, from a leadership standpoint, he was a eunuch. But she was wicked, and she was evil, and she controlled him and ran him. And most wicked woman in Scripture, very evil, except for, and this is why this Amelia came up in my mind, Amelia actually reminds me of Jezebel's daughter, Athaliah. Athaliah was the daughter who ended up killing all of her grandchildren except for one, who was hidden in the temple. And she killed all of her grandchildren. Can you imagine this? A grandma killing all of her grandchildren. And why? Because the one of those children, and the Scripture doesn't identify all the grandchildren that were killed, but one of them would have been the rightful king in Israel, and she wanted to be the queen bee. So she had them all killed until the day that the 7-year-old Josiah was revealed to be the true king. And, of course, Athaliah thinks that this is treachery, and then they killed her by the horse gate, I think is what it was. They executed her, done too soon. She was awful. And so, arguably, in some ways, she's the most wicked woman in Scripture. But she didn't kill 27, but she killed her own grandchildren. Well, children are children. Your grandchildren are otherwise. So I think Amelia tops Athaliah and Jezebel in that respect. Though they certainly could take part in the competition, right? I think so. And now we move on to more notable ones. And that would be, but Adolf Hitler. This was a pretty obvious one. And it is said, interestingly, some people say Hitler was dumb and he was unintelligent because of his eccentricities. But actually, he's most often described as being wickedly intelligent, with a wicked creativity combined with just a general brutality. And of the Jews, which he considered to be an impure race, of course, it is said and estimated that his rule led at the very least to the death of 40 million people. 40 million. 7 million of which were innocent Jews. But then you had many other innocent people, including other, you had Christians and just Gentiles in Europe and those that were the victims of the atrocities in other countries. And you had the priests and the preachers that were executed. And some Russians, I think, were thrown in there. And so it ends up being 40 million is the number, which would make him, in one sense, by sheer numbers, the most wicked person to have ever lived. I don't know if he was. He was certainly demon-possessed, and he clearly makes this list, understanding that I'm not trying to rank how evil these individuals are vis-a-vis the others, because there's different circumstances. Taking the last one, Amelia Dyer, if she killed 32 children, it was because she had access to 32 children. And so she, you know, killed every child she could get her hands on, apparently. That's what it seems like. Hitler had access to a lot more people. Through his powers, he had access to kill, like I said, up to 40 million. So is he the worst? He might be by numbers, but he also just simply fulfilled his capacity to kill, where others who have brutally murdered people just simply brutally murdered up to their capacity. So evil is evil. And what I find ironic, though, I just want to digress a minute with respect to Hitler, is he considered the Jews an impure race. And there's some thought I've read about it that Hitler himself may have been partly Jewish. I cannot say that for a fact or deny it. I don't know that it changes anything ultimately, other than trying to figure out why he did what he did. I think that's easily described in the fact that he was clearly demon-possessed. And there is nobody to commit an exorcism, apparently. They tried to execute him, but that failed. But he considered the Jews an impure race, and it's ironic because at the time he came to power, Germany really had really one of the highest standards of living the world has ever known. And the Jews were a part of that success. They were instrumental in math, in physics, in medical science, in chemistry, in music. They didn't necessarily dominate. They did in some of those areas. But the high quality of life and standard of living in the early days of Hitler and preceding was kind of unknown, probably better than in the United States in many respects. And so he considered those to be impure who actually had a large contribution to the success of German culture, medicine, civilization, and everything. So just kind of a little oddity there that I'd point out. Okay, moving along, we now get up to Ivan the Fourth. I don't know what Ivan the Third was like. I don't even know if there was an Ivan the Fifth. But this Ivan was terrible. He was referred to as Ivan the Terrible. All right? That was his title, claim to fame. He was the first Tsar of Russia. So that puts you in the time frame of the 19th century. Or I'm sorry, earlier than that. I'm wrong on that one. But I'm not actually sure the dates that he reigned. But it is said that every single day he would personally observe the execution of between 500 to 1,000 people a day. This wasn't Colosseum sport like the Romans would feed the Christians to the lions. Maybe that only occurred one day a week, one day a month that they have those festivals and that would occur. This is daily that Ivan the Terrible is executing between 500 and 1,000 people. He watched them. and he watched him be killed, and his also his son would participate. I don't know if his son was Ivan V. I'm guessing he was. I don't know that. But he was not just brutal to the outside world, but it was said that he would beat his pregnant daughter. Daughter-in-law. He beat his pregnant daughter-in-law for reasons nobody knows. And when his son got angry about his father's behavior towards his wife, Ivan IV just went ahead and killed his son. Everything was barbarian with this guy. Everything. And so that's the fifth one I think we've talked about here. And now we're moving on to Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un, however you pronounce his name, I don't care how you pronounce it. You can call him Chu Kao Dung for all I care. And this guy is made the list for a reason a little bit different, because we actually do not know how many this barbarian has killed. I mean, he was bad. I mean, it's interesting. It's called the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. There's nothing democratic about it. There's nothing about it where the people have any rights. Total misnomer by intent. It's a vicious regime, always has been. It's been in place for what now, 70 years maybe? Going back, yeah, 70 years it would be, more or less. The people suffer. They've always suffered. It's brutal. He's as brutal as his forerunners were. He brainwashes people to worship him. Unbelievable what people go through in that country because of the mental torture of against Christians and his the forced worshiping that people have had to hang and worship pictures of him on in their living room on the wall. And if they don't, they have the Korean version of the Gestapo come by and make sure the pictures are hanging. And people pay enormous prices under this barbarian regime. I read one time from the Voice of the Martyrs magazine about a fellow who, a Christian man in North Korea, who was in the military, and he had the job of guarding pictures of Kim Jong-un. That was his job, to guard pictures, because he was revered as a god. And there was a fire that broke out in the attached barracks. And this man had to make a decision. Do I save the pictures or do I try to save the men in the barracks? Well, in saving the men in the barracks, he suffered the consequences for lifting human lives above the stupid pictures of King Jong-un. Actually, you know, I like the term Chu Kao Dung for him, now that I think about it. But he was awful in another sense, which kind of has distinguished him to some sense, and that is he's purposefully starved the people. Deliberate starvation is a play for power. And if people are starved, guess what they're going to do? They're going to come and beg the government for food. They're going to be completely dependent upon the government for food. They're going to worship the whoever's in charge for the food. They'll do anything for the meal. I get it. I understand why they would be that desperate, but he's used food as the control mechanism of the people to worship him and beg him for his mercy. The country has never developed. You got the execution of all kinds of people for all kinds of reasons. But I wanted this development thing is something interesting. He purposely keeps North Korea several centuries old. And it can be proven from a NASA satellite photo I saw a few years back. It was unbelievable. A shot of Korea, north and south, taken at what would be about 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. Korean time. And you can see South Korea is lit up like a Christmas tree. I mean, all the lights that would you could spot from space. I mean, like you're passing over New York City or L.A., passing over Seoul, Korea, and other large cities in Korea. And it was just brilliant in its display. And on the other side of the DMZ was North Korea. And it looked like a Christmas tree that had blown a fuse, that one, because every light was out. I think there might have been a dot or two of light somewhere in North Korea, but the lights were out. It was gone. No better way to control the people than by keeping them in the dark so they can't do anything in the evening, like get together and plan a revolt and throw over the jerk who's in charge. So, yes, Kim Jong-un made the list here as number six. Number seven, I'll try not to be too graphic in this guy, Vlad the Impaler. He ruled over, dictator over an area called Wallachia, I think is how it's being pronounced, Wallachia. He was surrounded by his enemies on all sides, and so he didn't really have the people and the army to defend an attack coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west, especially all at one time. He couldn't do that, but he had a new tactic by which to deter people from attacking him, and that was a method of execution that he developed for putting people away. He had a true reign of terror, and the feeling of terror and the fear among the ones who would dare to oppose him kept people from opposing him, both internally and externally. And one of those tools of fear and terror was impaling people. I mean, he had them lined up on the side of the road, one after another. I'm sorry, I'm going to get a little bit graphic here, but this is just how wicked and evil this guy was. So you can see that, you know, what we're going through in this country, we're in a descent. But where we're headed is actually nothing new. I'm not saying we're going to end up with Vlad the Impaler, but he is the origin. He's Vlad Dracula and the inspiration for the Dracula movies. He apparently loved blood. Apparently loves blood as much as Gavin Newsom, who's got blood dripping from his eye teeth. He loves the death of children in the womb. He's got more blood dripping from the eye teeth. I mean, I think he's, compared to Vlad the Impaler, Vlad Dracula, I mean, Newsom would probably be considered pro-life in comparison. But what he did, one of his things was to impale humans. And the impaling would start at the buttocks. And he would not let it stop until the pole came out the mouth of his victims. I know there's some 12-year-old somewhere who happens to be listening say, oh, cool. No, it's not really, but I was 12. I understand 12-year-old boys. But anyway, how do you get more barbarian than this? We don't know how many he killed. I don't have to know exactly how many because I'm not sure there is a form of barbarity worse than what Vlad the Impaler did. He made the list because his barbarism just simply tops the charts in grotesqueness. And yeah, he made the list. Where he is on the list? Well, that's for you to decide, isn't it? Because we don't know how many he actually killed. This is one of these cases where I weigh the form of execution against the numbers. And it isn't necessarily the most that were killed. In some cases, it's the way by which they were killed or who it was killed. Who was killed, like the babies or the impaling or the sheer numbers. And we're going to move on to somebody you all know and don't love when we come back. Don't go away. And especially wait to hear how this concludes. Rob Walter, The Robin Walter Show.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
All right, we're back. And why did I play that song by the Bobby Fuller Floor? I like the song. I got the record. Tells you how old I am. I got the 45 of that song. They were a one-hit wonder. I played it because there have been many who throughout the ages, through millennia, that have opposed brutal dictatorships, the worst acts of humanity or inhumanity against humanity, and they have fought against it. And guess what? They ended up being killed themselves. They fought the law, and the law won on the surface. Spiritually, I'm not so sure that's the case, and I don't believe that necessarily to be the case. For those who have inspired people by their death, most notably, sitting at the top of that list, is Jesus Christ, right? What an inspiration. But there are those who have, that have, their life has been sacrificed, blood shed for the sake of the gospel. That, yeah, the law won. You'd say, well, the Romans won. Yeah, the Jewish elders won in the execution of Jews. No, they lost. They lost big time with an incredible opportunity to be redeemed, but they didn't win. They lost. And so whether it's in the case of Jesus or the disciples, some of the apostles that were brutally killed in the spreading of the gospel for which they won, maybe it was somebody like, I think it was James Cargill, the Scottish missionary theologian. I can't remember whether it was James Cargill that was inspired by seeing the hanging of another Christian, or whether it was another notable Christian that was inspired by the death of James Cargill. I can't remember. I didn't plan for that. But it happens that the death of the saints ends up becoming a factor or a feature in the spread of the gospel. Gosh, somebody's willing to die for that? Well, gosh, they must be telling the truth. It's a pretty simple conclusion. And so I move on to the next one on the list, which is Joseph Stalin. Now, he's sort of in the same category as Adolf Hitler because we're talking about, generally speaking, the same time frame. But old Joe, he was an oppressor. He was a brutal dictator. He had millions of people executed. His reign of terror lasted for 30 years. And the pain index, the misery index, and the manner by which people died also off the charts. We don't really know how many he had executed. Again, I think it's sort of a Hitler kind of a comparison. The numbers are high because he had the capacity and ability to kill a lot. He could hit those numbers politically, militarily, because of his authority. There's a safe number that seems to be around 10 to 12 million. The low seems to be an absolute low of 5 million. The high seems to bounce around the number of 20 million. But the 10 million seems to be the number of Russians that he killed. But interestingly, He is credited, if that's the right word, or it's been attributed to him, the rape of over 1.5 million German women. Now, not he personally. I'm sorry. I mean, the way I said that sounds like he personally raped 1.5 million women. No, there is no such man, and thank goodness he doesn't exist. But he oversaw and authorized, approved, allowed the raping of German women by incredible numbers. How many of the German women got killed afterwards? Death is a common companion or follower to the act of rape. This was at the conclusion of World War II when they invaded Germany. But he made the list for what I would say to be, in my opinion, pretty obvious reasons. The next one, it goes to Heinrich Himmler, known as the architect of the Jewish Holocaust. Now, I've already identified Hitler. This is the only regime that I have two people among the most evil in the world because they had a little bit different function. Hitler was brutal across all areas of life and the wars and who got executed. And like I said, the estimate seems to be actually somewhere in the area of close to 40 million as a result of war or the execution of all sorts of people. Heinrich Himmler was specifically tasked with killing Jews. So out of the 7 million Jews, it's estimated that Himmler personally oversaw the execution of about 6 million. And he was the leading member of the Nazi Party. He was also the SS, the Protection Squadron SS. And he joined the Nazi Party in 1925, 8 years before Hitler, I think, came around. I think he's about 1933. He never looked back. And so he's one of the deadliest men in the Nazi Party, but he personally oversaw that, and that's why I included him in the list. And it is said that he also killed about 500,000 Russians residing in Europe. And this they were included because it was presumed that they had come to Germany to destabilize Germany and make it a communist country, where in reality, they were probably running from Joe Stalin. They were probably refugees. But when the Reichstag burned, it was convenient, and I think it was torched by Hitler or the SS, to blame it on the communists because it was a way by which Adolf Hitler gained dictatorial powers by saying, look, we got to control the communists. We got to get rid of the communists. We got to get rid of the Russians. They're going to try to take over the country. And then the people said, or the legislature said, okay, take over. You're dictator. Do what you need to do. He got what he needed, and it was a ruse. It was a ploy. But along with that, and to carry out the ploy, Russians needed to be killed along with Jews and assortments of other Germans in different capacities. So Heinrich made the list because he himself oversaw the execution of what we believe to be a minimum of 6.5 million people, leaving Adolf responsible for the other 33 or 34 million, which is why Heinrich Baby made the list. We're going to move on to a woman that, until I studied this, I'd never heard of, by the name of Elizabeth Bathory, B-A-T-H-O-R-Y. She was a powerful Hungarian noblewoman. But she is considered, now this is by the Guinness Book of World Records. So you know what I do in my spare time. The Guinness Book of World Records as the most prolific female murderer in the history of mankind. And the thing is, we don't really know exactly how many she had killed, but the number is believed to be at least 600. This occurred back in the 16th and early 17th century. And that She'd killed at least 600 humans, and she was part of this nobility that she could never be tried. She was, for all intents and purposes, kind of part of the deep state, if you will, part of the government. She couldn't be tried for her acts, as she was an elitist. She was part of the nobility. Why she killed as many as she did, she never faced trial for any of her barbarian atrocities of killing women. Was she jealous of these other girls? Were they hot compared to Elizabeth? What were they? I don't really know. But she was demon-possessed, and she had it out for her own gender. But she made the list because she is the biggest female murderer of all time. Come on, we got to share something with the ladies here, right? That's why we got, you know, Amelia Dyer in here and Elizabeth Bathory. I'm an equal opportunity analyst here. Number 12, Saddam Hussein. The fifth president of Iraq, he was probably the best known of all Middle East dictators just simply by the sheer time of his reign, which was 24 or 25 years, I think. He was distinguished in two ways, though. The number of people he had executed of his own, it is believed that he killed over 2 million people. But he was distinguishable, if I can use that word, in another way, which is why he made the list, and that is of all of his own high-ranking officials that he had executed. His top soldiers. And this man obviously was paranoid. He obviously knew that anyone at any time could mount some sort of coup and attempt to take him out. I mean, Dietrich Bonhoeffer is part of a plot to execute Hitler. And yet he certainly wasn't anti-German any more than any of the people in Iraq were anti-Iraqi. But this is not unusual, actually. If you look in Scripture, you'll see that the many times, particularly if you look, go through 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and then 1 and 2 Chronicles, all the times where the kings and the leaders had those closest to them executed because they didn't trust them. Heck, I mean, Athaliah that I talked about killed all these grandchildren who were close to her, at least from a line of descent, because they would and should have been the leader of Israel. And so they don't trust anybody. And Hitler, too, had just a few that he could trust. Even David, who had his most trusted counselor, Ahithophel. It says in Psalms that David, the man who turned traitor on me, who betrayed me, I took sweet counsel with this man. He was close to Ahithophel, and yet he betrayed him and aligned himself with Absalom. Another one, the son of David, who was out to kill the king. So you see why at these despotic regimes, frequently there are people that are targeted that are very near the top for some reason, paranoid reason, these people get executed. And Hussein was one of those and killed 2 million people alongside that. So he made the list. Nero, Claudius Caesar Augustus Germanicus, the fifth known emperor of Rome, famous for all of his debaucheries. He's particularly known for his extremely sinful practices relating to sex, from child sacrifice to homosexuality, you name it. But he was also really big on killing poor Christians. He was also known for brutal political assassinations. Here we go again. You know, watch those who are the closest to you. You know, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer, I guess. Huh? That whole thing, because you've got to, or no, keep your enemies close, but your friends close. You've got to watch the ones that you presumably trust the most. I think I butchered that saying, so forget what I just said in that sense. But during his reign, of course, Christians were savagely tortured. They were murdered. He was responsible for the fire that destroyed Rome, killed a lot of people. This is what is typical of these kinds of people frequently in that they cannot handle their own downfall. And in their downfall, they're going to burn the city with them. They're going to take themselves out. They're going to take others out while they take themselves out in the process. What the heck? They can't handle it. So they're just going to torch the city as they go down themselves. Next one, number 14, Pol Pot. This guy was in, he only reigned for 4 years, I think. Started in 1976. If there was ever a reign of terror, well, he's one of them. He just had these mass genocides. These weren't genocides of other people or from other countries. They were in his own country. And from which the term came, the killing fields, which you probably recall from the book and so forth. But his 4 years of the reign of terror, he killed one out of every four people in his own country. 25% of his population was decimated of the entire country of Cambodia. So he was, why is he on the list? Did he kill more people than Joe Stalin? Probably not, but he killed a higher percentage of his own population than Joe Stalin and was brutal. And while Joe Stalin did it over 30 years, ones he killed, Pol Pot wiped out one quarter of the country's population in only 4 years. Can you imagine that? That by the end of Joe Biden's term, for the time he was in office, can you imagine one out of every four people in the United States having been killed by the Biden administration, just as a point of comparison? Next one, number 15, maybe he should not be number 15, is Barack Hussein Obama. Under the regime of Barack Obama, we have 9,194,600 abortions. The largest killing in the womb of any person in the history of mankind belongs under the reign of natal terror, if you will, prenatal terror, belongs to Barack Hussein. And then, of course, he goes on to mainstream queer sex, queer marriage, and he's queer himself and all these other things, partial birth abortion. And this is an amazing thing. You go back to 2016, Trump took on a very distinct pro-life plank to his platform. But who wins the Nobel Peace Prize? I don't think it was 2016. It was before that, but Barack Hussein Obama. Imagine the Nobel Peace Prize, emphasis on peace, when you preside over the execution of 9,194,600 deaths inside the womb. Way to go, Barack, baby. Unless you repent, you've got a very, very hot spot in hell. Maybe exceeded, however, though, by Joe Biden. Joe Biden is even worse in many ways. The problem is he's only 3.5 years into his reign of death against children in the womb. But he's got some other things which I think he could join Obama in as far as being on this list, maybe as number 16. How's that? Well, how about all of the suicides that have occurred as a result of adults getting tranny surgeries and realizing that going and getting them, and now has really screwed them up, we have a 1,200% increase of suicide by those adults who've had tranny surgeries versus those who consider themselves to be transgender but have not had the surgery. But he encourages it right down to ages 8 and 9. I got the tape. They should be able to pick their gender and have their surgery. Joe, you have a ton of body bags from Afghanistan to tranny surgeries. And let's not forget the 100,000 deaths per year we have from fentanyl. So even though you haven't reached Barack's magic number of 9,194,600, you're adding to it 100,000 a year, which is 350,000 fentanyl deaths since you took over and opened up the border. So What's the conclusion? Here is the conclusion. Let's run through this. Holmes, start with the beginning. Holmes was a private citizen. Leopold ran the government. Emilian Dyer was a private citizen. Hitler ran the government. Ivan the Terrible ran the government. Kim Jong-un ran the government. Vlad the Impaler ran the government. Joe Stalin ran the government. Heinrich Himmler, second in command, but also part of the government and ran a big portion of the government. How about Bathory? Well, you know what? She's a noblewoman. She probably is more establishment than she is private citizen, so I'm going to kind of leave her out of the mix. Nero, definitely the government. Obama, definitely the government. Oh, Biden, definitely the government. But we could throw in others here, right? Jezebel, definitely the government. Athalia, definitely the government. But we got some other ones that were private citizens like John Wayne Gacy. But when you add up the ones that I have come across, the wicked citizens, the deaths and the evil of an individual versus the evil of the government, I come down to a score of about 20 to 3, especially when I throw in all the Chinese rulers, the Ayatollahs, all of those that have worked for the government and the murder in the name of civilization or whatever, maintaining control. It's about 20 to 3, maybe 19 to 4 if you put Bathory on the private side, which I wouldn't. So let's say 20 to 3. Do you hear what this number says? This is a revelation. This is why I went through it. The greatest amount of deaths of innocent people in the world, in history, have not been caused by somebody trying to defend themselves against a burglar on a train in New York City or with an AR-15, even though we've had a few horrific mass shootings in this country, or beating somebody up with a hammer or their fists, or all the means by which murder has been committed against innocent humans. What is the number? Over 90, approaching probably 92% of all innocent people in the history of the world have been committed by their government. Let that number sink in. The governments. What do we have today? In our government, we have a government that's trying to dispossess us of our firearms. They don't want anybody able to defend themselves against them. Do the top domestic terrorists in this country all sit in Washington, D.C.? Could certainly make a case for it. Why do you need 50 armed to the gills, if you will, to the hilt, flak jacketed FBI agents, 40 or so, with automatic weapons knocking on the door to arrest a person, a pastor, who supposedly pushed somebody outside of an abortion clinic and arrest them in front of the 7 children? The crimes committed, in essence, by the government, in many respects, exceed already the crimes committed by the individuals. Do you have to wonder, why is the Department of Justice armed, the FBI armed, the IRS armed? Well, I kind of understand a little bit with the IRS and a little bit with the FBI, a little bit. But why is the Homeland Security armed? They're just at the airports. Why is the EPA armed, the Environmental Protection Agency? Every agency in the government seems to have guns. I can't say for sure that the Department of Education has them, but it wouldn't surprise me that they do. And all we're trying to do in this country is to turn it around to save ourselves from the excesses of a government that's increasingly tyrannical. Do we rise up to overthrow the government? No, that's not what I'm advocating. But I am advocating that people legally possess their firearms, be trained, have lots of ammo, and in the defense of themselves, the defense of their family, if it reaches a point where the government is doing something that's so ridiculously over the top, unconstitutional, and unbiblical, We simply may need to defend ourselves. Are we going to have a civil war? I think we will, but not because we're going to attack the federal government, but because the federal government may attack us. After all, remember that number. 92% of the people, innocent people killed throughout history, victims, innocent, have been killed by their governments. Only 8% are made up of gangs and murders and all of those sorts of things. No, governments kill far more than individuals kill. It's a sad state that we are replicating here, or beginning to replicate. But understand, the past, I hope, is not prologue. I hope there's a turnaround. I dearly hope that Donald Trump wins this election and does the only thing that can be done to turn it around at the civil order society, civil order level, to defund, not the police, but to severely defund the tyrants that are gaining in power in Washington, D.C. It's a deep state set on, in my opinion, overturning this God-filled country. God bless you. See you next week.